Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we just come into your presence and we thank you, Father, that you love us and you care for us. Thank you that you provided a way for us to step into your kingdom. You stepped from eternity into time so that we could step from time into eternity. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message is Born to Die. Now, I'm going to follow a couple of different strains in our readings, and you'll have to keep your wits about you to follow it. We start off with Luke. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Messiah is also Christ and can also be translated as anointed one. The Greek word for baby that is used there is brephos, which means unborn or just born, newborn baby. Take note of that. We go on now to the Magi, who came to the house. Notice, not the manger, the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now in Luke 2:12, the Greek word used was brephos, unborn or newborn. In Matthew 2:11, the word used is paedion, which is young child. That is the same word that is used when Mary and Joseph take Jesus into the temple on the eighth day to be circumcised. The word used is paedion, which is different to brephos. Brephos is very particular in that it's newborn. Now, when those magi came to see Jesus, the Greek word used in Matthew is paedion. We're debunking a myth here that the magi came to the manger. They did not. The magi were not Jews. They were Persians. They had come from Persia. They had seen his star in the east. Now, they were, according to other records of that time, they were astrologers. And their function in the Persian kingdom was to read the signs of the stars. They also knew the Jewish scriptures because the Jews had been in Persia for many years, for 70 years, during the time of Daniel. So they had access to the Jewish scriptures and they knew the prophecies. And they saw his star in the east. So they packed up and went to visit him, and they brought three specific gifts. We don't know how many magi there were, but we do know that they brought three specific gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a gift for a king. Now, when they came to Jerusalem, they met up with Herod and asked, "Where is this baby who is born, the new king of the Jews?"
Herod was pretty upset, understandably. But here, they recognized that he was a king. So they brought gold for a king. They also presented frankincense, which was a gift for a deity, for a god. And they presented myrrh, which was used for embalming and was used in preparation for burial. See the beautiful prophecy that God brought to pass there. These men who were not even Jews, but knew the Jewish scriptures, knew the prophecies, and they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts for a king, for a deity, and for burial. Now I'm going to move on to Abraham taking Isaac to Mount Moriah. He was told to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. Now Isaac was a child of promise, but Abraham trusted God. And they're on the way, and Isaac said to Abraham, "We have the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb for sacrifice?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb." And the two of them went on together. Now this scripture here in 2 Chronicles 3:1. Then Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, which was the place where Abraham had gone with Isaac to offer sacrifice, and where Abraham had said, "God himself will provide the lamb." It was where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was on the threshing floor of Ornan, or Araunah, the Jebusite, the place provided by David. David had done wrong at one point, and God had brought punishment upon the nation of Israel, a plague upon the nation. And David repented, and Gad the prophet came to him and told him to go to the threshing floor of Araunah, or Ornan. It's depending which account you read, so the name changes, but it is the same person, the Jebusite, and purchase the threshing floor. That was on Mount Moriah. Now that area of Israel was not a conquest of war. It was purchased specifically for sacrifice. David purchased it in order to sacrifice unto God there. And this is where the temple was built. This was Mount Moriah, where Abraham had taken Isaac. Now we go back into Micah. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." There's two Bethlehems in Israel. And the prophet Micah spoke of Bethlehem Ephrathah, which is where Jesus was born. God is just so beautifully bringing it all together to a climax point.
Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son. The rest of his brothers will return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land. Through our fortresses we will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders. Old Testament prophecy as to exact town where Jesus would be born.
We come to forward in time to Jerusalem, when Mary and Joseph take Jesus on the 8th day, according to the law, for his circumcision and redemption. Because being the firstborn, he had to be redeemed.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah.
Now there hadn't been a prophet in Israel for 400 years. But Simeon was walking with God and was in tune with God and listening to God, and God had revealed to him that he would see the Messiah.
Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed."
And then he added, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." How would you feel as a mother with your first child and someone comes up and says, "This child is going to be a blessing to all humanity and a stumbling block to many, but also a sword will pierce your own soul because of him"? This is a child who was born to die.